I need to make an announcement before I forget about it. Patricia, can you take Ms. Lottie, Rose, and whatever else we got left? And we got a devotional booklet back there in the sound room and a bulletin, okay? And I'll get the CD to her this week, okay? Appreciate you doing that, okay? Take your Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 this morning. We're breaking away from our study on the great gospel invitations in the New Testament, and we're going to be covering mothers this morning. We're going to be looking at we know her today because she's in the Bible, but Phoebe, a portrait of a Christian woman, found in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So are you with me there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. You see the bulletins. You see where I'm going to be at, so you already turned there and you're ready to go, right? Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Let's stand in honor of God, the reading of God's word. And Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That's the way that Bible teachers tell me how to pronounce it, Cenchrea. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. We're going to look at today, we're going to look at three traits of a Christian woman found in these two verses. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, open our hearts as we open the text. And as we examine and dissect the text and see what you would have through us through the Apostle Paul, speaking to this woman in the church there as she's welcomed at Rome. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This last chapter in Romans 16, is a list of some, I don't know, I tried to count them up, at least 25 here that Paul names who are co-workers with him in the ministry. It's probably his most extensive list of people who he loved and had a great affection for because they were co-workers in his ministry in the New Testament. But it also provides an insight into the lives of ordinary Christians, first century Christians, in the church at Rome and other churches as well. And it gives us insight as we look at the nature and the character of the early church. We have a commendation of an unknown woman named Phoebe. She took Paul's letter to Rome from Cenchrea, and she was, most people believe, she was a well-off woman, for spiritually and materially, and that she had done much good in the churches, and Paul was commending the church at Rome to receive her. This is one of the places in the New Testament where we get letters of recommendation from one church to another when people transfer their membership. But Paul introduces the believers in Rome to this very special woman, and we're going to note three words today that describe Phoebe. Now, some people spell it P-H-E-B-E. Some people put an O in it. But either way, it's pronounced the same, Phoebe. And we're going to look at her today, and we're going to learn how the Christian woman is introduced in this letter here. A Christian woman is introduced, first of all, as a sister. Note with me in verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, he says. Our sister. And here we see two things here. We see it speaks of a relationship with the Father, God the Father, and it speaks also of a relationship with the family of God. Speaks of a relationship with the Father. Women who are saved have a father-daughter relationship with God. Her name means radiant or bright, and certainly she was bright. She brought brightness and light into the lives of many people there at the church at Cenchrea, and she would be at Rome as she went here. Her name also is the name of the Corinthian goddess named Diana. She could have possibly, this is when people submit that she could have possibly been raised in a home of pagan idols and had come to know the only true God, and she was saved from paganism by the light of the glorious gospel. Amen. And her sister, and she became a sister because she knows the Father. Now, I was rebuked in this text this week because I call men brothers, but I don't call women sisters. And I don't know, it's just the way I was brought up, you know. And so I want to start trying to refer to you ladies as sisters, okay, in that regard here. But she was a sister. She was saved out of paganism, and she knew the Father. And here's the truth we want to bring home today. Regardless of your background, once you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen? And we are a brother-daughter, son-daughter relationship with the Heavenly Father in the family of God. But it also speaks of a relationship with the church family. She was also, a sister. She was among other redeemed people in the church, brothers and sisters, and she was a child of God. Notice what Paul calls her there in verse 1, Phoebe, our sister, okay? So she had a family. She had a church family. She had an earthly family, which I hope some of them got saved out of paganism. I don't know, but she had a spiritual family. She was in the spiritual family by spiritual birth. If it's like a lot of places, when you come out of the cults and come out of paganism, your family turns their back on you, right? You're going to follow Christ. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to go down there and be with them folks. But, hey, I mean, we need to pray for them that they'll be shown the light of the gospel as well, and they'll be saved as well. But she had a spiritual family. Though she may have been, I'm not saying she was, but may have been outcast by her pagan family, she had a church family. And it's based on a relationship to the Christian family that Paul encourages the Christians at Rome to receive her. To receive her. And this is where we get the letter of recommendation. And here we have a Jew recommending a Gentile to a group of Romans. And only the grace of God could do that. Amen, church? Only the grace of God can do that. So this is another truth here. Thank God for our church family. Amen? Okay, that was weak now. That's not even going to do nothing justice today. Thank God for our church family. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, though your other family members may not be what you want them to be to you, and you can't run with them anymore and do what they do because you're saved and you're redeemed, you have a church family who loves you. And thank God for our church family, because it is here with the church family that we experience nurture, we experience acceptance and love and joy. But most of all, it's where we come to be instructed from God's word. So I thank God. If you don't have a church family today, you need to have one. Because the culture out there, the lost culture, is not going to be a family to you. Amen? They're going to drag you down. And so you need a church family where you can hear the instruction of the word of God, where you can use your spiritual gifts, have spiritual gifts exercised back to you in turn, and you can grow as a Christian. So Paul calls her a sister. Note, first of all, in verse 2, verse 1, latter part of verse 1 and verse 2, Paul calls her a servant. So this Christian woman is called a sister, and she's called a servant. Now note with me in the text here. Paul says, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh the saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she have need of you. And first of all, we see her practice here as a servant. And the latter part of verse 1, she's called a servant. That word is translated deacon. That's where we get our word deacon. It doesn't mean she had the office of deacon. Doesn't mean she had the office of deaconess. We do not believe as Baptists that that office exists today. But we do believe the office of deacon does exist. But she was a servant. But it is the word where we get the word deacon from. Now, again, we're not talking about an office here. We're talking about the spirit of an office. She was a servant in the local church. The word literally means here a table waiter, one who waits on orders from the master, and it could also mean one who kicks up the dust. And that's what deacons do. They wait upon the spiritual and the physical needs of the church and assist the pastor in caring for those needs in the church, and they are kick up the dust in ministry. And this lady here did the same thing. But notice what it says there. He says she's a servant of the church. She was under the authority of the local church. She was under the authority of the local pastor. As she ministered to the church, she was a servant of the church and to the church at Cenchrea. And she would be as well at Rome, I'm sure. So we see her practice. Next thing we see in verse 2 is her praise. Look in verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. As becometh saints. Paul affirms her life and her work, demonstrated that she was to be respected and she was to be honored. She was a saint of God. This was a letter of recommendation. Her life matched her profession. That doesn't happen a lot today. People profess to know Christ, but you can't tell it by the way they live. Amen? You can't tell it by the way they live. Amen? All right, okay. I'm gonna start doing like the black preacher does now. We're gonna pass a 55-gallon drum, and you can't quit giving until it's full. Amen. But she was a servant of the church. Treat her as becometh a saint, holy. By practice, she was holy. I mean, by position, she was holy. And we are all called by our position, by our practice, to make it match our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. The saved women who are in our church, who dedicate themselves to the church and to the Lord, we ought to honor and respect them. Amen? And we appreciate our ladies here at Trinity. Men got a role, but ladies have a role as well. And women don't lead the church, but they serve the church. And we respect that. There's a lot of things around here that couldn't have got done outside of the fact that we had ladies in our church. Amen? Because you try to manipulate a man to serve the Lord, it's hard sometimes. Amen? All right. I know I'm getting close to the corn now. I can tell it. I see it in your eyes, okay? But we are a sorry lot sometimes, us men, right? Thank God for the women who come alongside and have a ministry of prayer and service in the church. So we honor those who become as saints, who don't gossip, who dress and carry themselves like a lady. I was reading a devotional that we get every quarter here at the church, and I was catching up on Saturday in the office this morning. We come here early, and it said the word lady is used twice in the scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures. And you may not know how to define a lady, but you'll know one when you see one. Amen? And they carry themselves in a different way. They dress like a lady. They act like a lady. They talk like a lady. And that's a rare occasion today. So Paul charges the church to help her and assist her in her ministry. Whatever she wants you to do, come alongside her and offer help. So though women, again, don't lead the church, they certainly serve the church, and they offer up prayers and encouragement and resources, and we men come alongside them and assist them in whatever it is that God has called them to do. So as we introduce a Christian woman today, we see her as a sister. We see her, secondly, as a servant. And then we see her, and I'm not going to use the King James word here. It says succorer, but we see her as a supporter. Look in the latter part of verse 2, if you will. And he says, whatsoever business she have need of you, she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. That's a King James word, meaning she's a supporter. It means to come along to assist another, to be a support, to run under is what the word means. A protector of others. And she cared for the affairs of others and aided them with her resources. Many people believe this lady was a spiritually well-off lady, and she used her money in the church here. She gave herself to others. Possibly she gave her talents. She wanted to be a blessing to Paul and a blessing to others, the text says. She placed the needs of others ahead of herself. And that's how you can tell a Christian woman. She gave of her time. She was willing to give her time to the Lord and to the church. She spent her life on behalf of the church and in service of the church. So whether it was praying for others or visiting the sick and the elderly, ministering to the bereaved, a phone call, a letter, a card, or taking a meal, she put feet to her prayers and actions to her words. Amen? This was a Christian woman. So I would tell you today, ladies, you are very important in the family of God. The local church needs you. Amen? And you carry out your God-ordained roles in the church. Don't go to sleep on me yet, because I'm fixing to send you home early. You're going to get home in time. You're going to go to the restaurant before even the other Baptists get there this morning. Amen? And definitely before the Methodists, and you'll be getting there ahead of the Pentecostals, so don't worry about it, okay? So stick with me right here. We need you. We need you to step up and be a lady who loves the Lord and loves the church. And you're very important in the family and service of the local church. So I commend you today. Amen, church? Let's give them a hand. Let's give our ladies a hand. Thank you, we do. That was a very weak response by the men, and you're going to hear it when you get in the car, okay? All heads bowed, all eyes closed, if you will. I want to ask you a question as our musicians come this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you a woman worthy in the church to be called a sister, a servant, a supporter, of the local church? Are you giving everything you can to the Lord and to the local church? And I don't necessarily mean your money, but are you giving other things in the service for the family of God? If not, I want to encourage you and urge you to get off the sidelines and get into the war. Get into the battle. Get involved. Get engaged. You know, just don't stand on the outside thinking I need to do it. But the fact is, you do it, right? And men, are you leading the way? Are you being the spiritual leader in your home, as we read in the letter this morning? Read this morning from Pat. Are you being the spiritual leader in your home so that your lady can lead? Your wife can be a supporter. Your wife can depend on you to lead her in spiritual guidance. How about it today, men and women? This is the challenge. Are you being the spiritual head of your family? And woman, are you being a Christian lady in the local fellowship? Father, I have present this message to you, a challenge to our ladies, a challenge to our men today, to work out whatever you want to accomplish through your word this morning and in the hearts of your people. There's one here this morning that is not saved. They can't call themselves a sister. They can't call themselves a brother. They can't call themselves a servant of the Lord because they never repented of their sins and placed their faith alone in the finished work of Christ on the cross to guarantee their salvation. Oh, they heard about Jesus. They give him lip service, but it's never changed their life. It's never changed their heart. And Lord, I pray today that some will come to Christ today in repentance and faith. I pray that you'll make us the men and women we need to be in the local fellowship, and that we will never take our local church for granted. Because there's a lot of people today all over our land that don't have what we have. So, Father, today we pray you do your will and your work, and we ask you these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.